Shalom, Shaul Dog here for the Yeshuan Radio Network. I would like to introduce you to some of our homegrown teachers and hosts who are featured on this network. We have Shoshana Swan with Chavra. We have Pastor Jim Morgan with the Out of Babylon radio program. Also, the new Oyen Town with your hosts Christopher Fredrickson and JJ Rocks. We also have Paul Neeson with the Torah Life Show. And then there's yours truly with the Messianic Jewish Moment. All kinds of different styles and teachings for every learning level. New lessons are added weekly, so be sure to keep coming back. And we thank you for listening to the Yeshuan Radio Network, where people can be delivered and not deceived.
You are listening to Chavra with Shoshana. Chavra, C-H-A-V-U-R-A-H, is a Hebrew term commonly used to describe scripture study among believers. Chavra is produced under the direction of Shaul Dog's Messianic Jewish Moment, and our website is www.foryahweh.org. That's the numeral 4, Y-A-H-W-E-H. New episodes air each Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. and can also be heard streaming live at yrn.spruce.com, the Yeshuan Radio Network. Please come join us.
Spirit of the living God, here I stand with open heart. Holy Spirit, fire rain on me. Holy Spirit, send your fire. This is but my one desire. Holy Spirit, fire rain. Flame that burns on a hill, so all of your enemies may know that Yeshua, He is King, and He reigns evermore, and the end of His enemies is sure. Spirit, send your power, fill me with it hour by hour. Holy Spirit, fire rain on me. Holy Spirit, make me bold, burn the wood and leave the gold. Holy Spirit, fire rain. Yeshua, He is King, and He reigns evermore, and the end of His enemies is His Spirit make me bold. Burn the wood and leave the gold. Holy Spirit, fire rain on me. Rain on me. Rain on me.
Welcome to the last day of Passover. I know many of you have just learned of Passover, the Haggadah, or the telling, and the extreme significance of what this moed, or appointed time, has to offer us now. It's a yearly reminder of the release of slavery to the law of sin and death, and we are passed over because of the shed blood of the blameless Passover Lamb, Yeshua. In Him, we can be transformed to the blameless life He offers each and every one of us. Romans 12:2. In other words, do not let yourselves be conformed to the standards of this world. Instead, keep letting yourselves be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you will know what God wants and will agree that what He wants is good, satisfying, and able to succeed. The next moed we have to look forward to is the Feast of Shavuot, or Pentecost, as some have learned to call it. In reality, the Hebrew term means weeks. I originally thought this was a feast of man-made origin when I first came into the belief, as much as other cultural feasts we see celebrated today, or at best, a warped representation of what was supposed to be. And on that particular note, I was correct. Shavuot is the annual fulfillment of prophecy spoken of in Joel chapter 2. We'll start at verse 12. Yet even now, says Yehovah, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and lamenting. Tear your heart, not your garments, and turn to Yehovah your God, for He is merciful and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in grace, and willing to change His mind about disaster. Who knows? He may turn, change His mind, and leave a blessing behind Him, enough for grain offerings and drink offerings to present to Yehovah our God. You will know that I am with Israel, and that I am Yehovah your God, and that there is no other. Then my people will never again be ashamed. Verse 28. After this, I will pour out my Spirit on all humanity. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And also on male and female slaves in those days, I will pour out my Spirit. I will show wonders in the sky and on earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and terrible day of Yehovah. At that time, whoever calls on the name of Yehovah will be saved. For in Mount Zion and Yerushalayim there will be those who escape, as Yehovah has promised. Among those survivors will be those whom Yehovah has called. So bearing this in mind, we'll go over some of the requirements in the Chumash, or the five books, and later actions of the Talmudim themselves in fulfillment of what was written. And we'll start from the beginning. Exodus 34:22. Observe the festival of Shavuot with the first gathered produce of the wheat harvest and the festival of ingathering at the turn of the year. Three times a year, all your men are to appear before Yehovah, the God of Israel. For I am going to expel nations ahead of you and expand your territory. And no one will even covet your land when you go up to appear before Yehovah your God three times a year. This is a wonderful promise that was brought up to me the very first time I heard of celebrating any Feast of Yehovah. And while we're on this subject, I want to reiterate and underline exactly what these feasts are. Leviticus 23:4 tells us these are not Jewish feasts, but Yehovah's feasts. These are the Moedim, or designated time, of Yehovah, the holy convocations you are to proclaim at their Moedim, or designated times. And here's a statement Solomon made to Huram, the king of Zor, in request for building materials for the temple, and again refers to the Moedim as Yehovah's designated times, 2 Chronicles 2:4. Here, I'm about to build the house for the name of Yehovah my God, to dedicate it to Him, and to burn it before Him incense made of sweet spices. The house will also be for the continuing showbread, and for the burnt offerings presented every morning and evening, on the Shabbats, at every Rosh Chodesh, which is the new moon, and at the Moedim, or designated times, of Yehovah our God. This is a perpetual regulation for Israel. And it's a well-known fact that our living God does not change. Malachi 3:6, because I, Yehovah, do not change. Isaiah 41:4, whose work is this? Who brought it about? He who called the generations from the beginning. I, Yehovah, am the first, and I am the same with those who are last. Continuing on to verse 27 of Exodus 34. Yehovah said to Moshe, write these words down, because they are the terms of the covenant I have made with you in Israel. We need to note these words because we'll be seeing them referenced later in Acts 2:25. Reading Numbers 28:26. On the day of the first fruits, when you bring a new grain offering to Yehovah in your feast of Shavuot, you are to have a holy convocation. Do not do any kind of ordinary work. Deuteronomy 16:10. You are to observe the festival of Shavuot, or weeks, for Yehovah your God, with a voluntary offering, which you are to give in accordance with the degree to which Yehovah your God has prospered you. Deuteronomy 16:16. Three times a year, all your men are to appear in the presence of Yehovah your God in the place which he will choose, at the festival of Matzah, which is what we've just gone through, at the festival of Shavuot, which is the next one coming up, and at the festival of Sukkot, which is the one we celebrate in the fall. They are not to show up before Yehovah empty-handed. In some messianic circles, you will hear the above phrases mentioned in conjunction with offerings for the accompanying ministry, which bears truth. Ruach HaKodesh tells us it is better to give than receive in Acts 20, verse 35. Now let's see if the Talmudim or the apostles kept these ordinances as a perpetual regulation, as it's stated in 2 Chronicles and many other places in the Chumash. We'll start in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. The festival of Shavuot arrived, and the believers all gathered together in one place. Suddenly, there came a sound from the sky like the roar of a violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which separated and came to rest on each one of them. They were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and began to talk in different languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Now there were staying in Yerushalayim religious Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were confused because each one heard the believers speaking in his own language. Totally amazed, they asked, how is this possible? Aren't all these people who are speaking from the Galil? How is it we hear them speaking in our native languages? We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Yehuda, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Jews by birth and proselytes, which are Jewish converts, Jews from Crete and from Arabia. How is it we hear them speaking in our own languages about the great things God has done? Amazed and confused, they all went on asking each other, what can this mean? But others made fun of them and said, ha, they've just had too much wine. Then Kephas stood up with the 11 and raised his voice to address them. You Judeans and all of you staying here in Yerushalayim, let me tell you what this means and listen carefully. These people aren't drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken about through the prophet Joel, and we'll find this in chapter 2 of Joel. Yehovah says, in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon everyone. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Even on my slaves, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will perform miracles in the sky above and signs on the earth below. Blood, fire, and thick smoke. The sun will become dark, the moon blood, before the great and fearful day of Yehovah comes. And then, whoever calls on the name of Yehovah will be saved. Continuing verse 22 of Acts chapter 2. Men of Israel, listen to this. Yeshua from Nazareth, was a man demonstrated to you to have been from God by the powerful works, miracles, and signs that he performed through him in your presence. You yourselves know this. This man was arrested in accordance with God's predetermined plan and foreknowledge, and through the agency of persons not bound by the Torah. I'm going to read that verse again. This is Acts 2, verse 23. And through the agency of persons not bound by the Torah, which means not an Israelite or a Jew, you nailed him up on a stake and killed him. But God has raised him up and freed him from the suffering of death, and it was impossible that death could keep its hold on him. For David says this about him in Psalm 16, 8 through 11. I saw Yehovah always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. For this reason my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced, and now my body too will live on in certain hope that you will not abandon me to Sheol or let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the ways of life. You have filled me with the joy by your presence. Brothers, I know I can say to you frankly that the patriarch David died and was buried. His tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, since he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn an oath to him that one of his descendants would sit on his throne, he was speaking in advance about the resurrection of the Messiah, and that it was he who was not abandoned in Sheol and whose flesh did not see decay. God raised up this Yeshua. We are all witnesses of it. Moreover, he has been exalted to the right hand of God. He has received from the Father what he promised, namely the Ruach HaKodesh, and has poured out this gift which you are both seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he does say, Yehovah said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let the whole house of Israel know beyond doubt that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Yeshua whom you executed on a stake. On hearing this, they were stung in their hearts, and they said to Kepha and the other emissaries, brothers, what should we do? Kepha answered them, turn from sin, return to God, and each of you be immersed on the authority of Yeshua the Messiah into forgiveness of your sins. Remember 1 John 3:4. Everyone who keeps on sinning is violating Torah. Indeed, sin is violation of Torah. And continuing on in verse 38, and you will receive the gift of Ruach HaKodesh. For the promise is for you, for your children, for those far away, as many as Yehovah our God may call. Again, hear the word he calls. He pressed this case with many other arguments and kept pleading with them, save yourselves from this perverse generation. And between you and me, that sounds very familiar to come out of her, my people. Continuing to verse 41. So those who accepted what he said were immersed, and they were added to the group that day, about 3,000 people. They continued faithfully in the teaching of the emissaries, in fellowship, in breaking bread, and in the prayers. Everyone was filled with awe, and many miracles and signs took place through the emissaries. All those trusting in Yeshua stayed together and had everything in common. In fact, they sold their property and possessions and distributed the proceeds to all who were in need. Continuing faithfully with singleness of purpose to meet in the temple courts daily. Did we hear that? Meeting in the courts daily. And breaking bread in their several homes, they shared their food in joy and simplicity of heart, praising God and having the respect of all the people. And day after day, the Lord kept adding to those who were being saved. Now we have gone over the story of the first apostolic Shavuot. As I was reading further on in Acts chapter 3, we got to have context. I found some very interesting points that Shaul points out to the leaders and the believers that he was addressing. We're going to start at verse 17. Now, brothers, I know that you did not understand the significance of what you were doing, and neither did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had announced in advance when he spoke through the prophets, namely, that his Messiah was to die. Therefore, repent and return to God, so so that your sins may be erased. Now remember, in times past, we've ascertained that a true prophet's message is what? Repent and return, or teshuvah. By making these statements, Shaul and Kepha, as he mentioned back in Acts 2:38, are validating that their words are of Ruach HaKodesh. Continuing to Acts 3:20. So that times of refreshing may come from the Lord's presence, and that he may send the Messiah appointed in advance for you, that is, Yeshua. He has to remain in heaven until the time comes for restoring everything, as God said long ago when he spoke through the holy prophets. For Moses himself said, Yehovah will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers. You are to listen to everything he tells you. Everyone who fails to listen to that prophet will be removed from the people and destroyed. We'll find this in Deuteronomy 18:15. Yehovah will raise up for you a prophet like me from among yourselves and from your own kinsmen. You are to pay attention to him. Now you remember at Yeshua's baptism, we find this in Luke 9:35. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him. Now we're beginning to get the validity of what was being said. Continuing on to verse 16 of Deuteronomy 18. Just as when you were assembled at Horeb and requested Yehovah your God, don't let me hear the voice of Yehovah my God anymore, or let me see this great fire ever again. If I do, I will die. On that occasion, Yehovah said to me, now this is Moshe still speaking, they are right in what they are saying. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their kinsmen. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I order him. Now we're going to go back to Acts chapter 3, picking up at verse 24. Indeed, all the prophets announce these days, starting with Shemuel, or Samuel, and continuing through all who followed. You, Miss America, Miss China, Miss England, Miss Australia, Mr. America, you are the sons of the prophets, and you are included in the covenant which God made with our fathers when he said to Abraham, by your seed will all the families of the earth be blessed. We find this in Genesis 22:18. And by your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Why? There's a why there. It says, because you obeyed my order. Genesis 26:4. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. I will give all these lands to your descendants, and by your descendants, all the nations of the earth will bless themselves. Now, how interesting is that? How are they going to do that? By following Torah. So we continue on to chapter 3, verse 26. So it is to you first, and he's referring to the Jews at the moment, then the Gentile, that God has sent his servant, whom he has raised up, so that he might bless you by turning each one of you from your evil ways. We're going to carry on with this thought to Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, you have no excuse, whoever you are, passing judgment, for when you judge someone else, you are passing judgment against yourself, since you who are judging do the same things he does. We know that God's judgment lands impartially on those who do such things. Do you think that you, a mere man, passing judgment on others who do such things, yet doing them yourself, will escape the judgment of Yehovah? Or perhaps you despise the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience because you don't realize that God's kindness is intended to lead you to turn you from your sins. Let's read that again. Or perhaps you despise the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience because you don't realize that God's kindness is intended to lead you to turn from your sins. Romans 2, verse 4. But by your stubbornness, by your unrepentant heart, You are storing up anger for yourself on the day of anger, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed, for he will pay back each one according to his deeds. To those who seek glory, honor, and immortality by perseverance in doing good, he will pay back eternal life. But to those who are self-seeking, who disobey the truth and obey evil, now what's the truth? We know that Torah is wisdom, knowledge, power, might, the fear of Yehovah, and we know that because we know Yeshua is Torah because of John 1:1. We also know the spirit of Yehovah rests on Yeshua because of Isaiah 11:2. So in verse 8 here of Romans chapter 2, when Paul says, who disobey the truth, we're referring to Torah and Yeshua all at the same time. And obey evil, he will pay back wrath and anger. Yes, he will pay back misery and anguish to every human being who does evil, to the Jew first, then to the Gentile. But glory and honor and shalom, or peace, to everyone who keeps doing what is good, to the Jew first, then to the Gentile. Romans 2 verse 11, for God does not show favoritism. And again, this goes back to Torah. We'll read this in Exodus 33:19. He replied, I will cause all my goodness to pass before you. Now this is when Moshe had asked Yehovah to show him his face, and this was Yehovah's response. I will cause all my goodness to pass before you, and in your presence I will pronounce the name of Yehovah. Moreover, I show favor to whomever I will, and I display mercy to whomever I will. Continuing in Romans 2, verse 12. All who have sinned outside the framework of Torah will die outside the framework of Torah, and all who have sinned within the framework of Torah will be judged by Torah. For it is not merely the hearers of Torah whom God considers righteous, but it is the doers of what Torah says who will be made righteous in Yehovah's sight. I find it enlightening that no matter what the chosen subject to expound on, we always come back to repent and return to Torah. The intended highlight for today was Shavuot and how the Talmudim adhered to the requirements of Torah. And now we find ourselves right square in the middle of repent and return, for the kingdom of Yehovah is at hand. But for the record, we have gone over the first recorded apostolic observance of Shavuot and a few contextual notes of Tisha B'Av. Farther into the New Testament, we do see some other notes of Shaul making room for the festival during his travels abroad, spreading the good news. We see in Acts 20, verse 16, for Shaul had decided to bypass Ephesus on his voyage in order to avoid losing time in the province of Asia, because he was hurrying to get to Jerusalem, if possible, in time to celebrate Shavuot. Also, 1 Corinthians 16:5. I will visit you after I have gone through Macedonia, for I am intending to pass through Macedonia, and I may stay with you or even spend the winter so that you may help me continue my travels wherever I may go. But I don't want to see you now when I'm only passing through, because I'm hoping to spend some time with you if the Lord allows it. But I will remain in Ephesus until Shavuot, because a great and important door has opened for my work, and there are many people opposing me. I hear, and this was news to me, relatively new news, that there have been some grumblings out there as to Shaul's validity as a Torah teacher, or for that matter, a messianic leader. I brought up the Tisha B'Av concept that he very strongly touted to quell some fears that you may have about him or his message. And if you get a chance to hear the Shabbatical Roundtable that was recorded prior to this airing on the Yeshuan Radio Network, we discuss some of the characteristics associated with Shaul as a person and his intended audience and how they affected his ability to communicate, or to some, the lack thereof. Yehovah said to Moshe, speak to Aharon and his sons and tell them that this is how you are to bless Israel. You are to say to them, Yivareka Yehovah Vayishmarecha. Ye'er Yehovah panafaleka v'kuneka. Yisa Yehovah panafaleka v'yasem leka shalom. May Yehovah bless you and keep you. May Yehovah make his face shine on you and show you his favor. May Yehovah lift his face towards you and give you peace. In this way, you are to put his name on the people of Israel so that he will bless them.
Return to me, says Adonai. Return to me, says Elohim. Return to me, says Adonai. Return to me, says chosen.